Creating your own reality. Is it possible for me? I am Jennifer K. Hill, the Consciousness Architect, and I am here to tell you that it's not only possible, it's closer than you might think. Welcome to the show. Hello, friends, and welcome to another episode of Regarding Consciousness. I am Jennifer K. Hill. Thank you so much for choosing to spend your time with us here and to explore all of the beautiful elements of consciousness. I was just talking to our wonderful guest here, Angela, and we were talking about how it serendipitously connected us miraculously, which is going to be the theme of today's show. How do we consciously bring our awareness and consciously create miracles in our lives and the lives of others? And it was very miraculous. Here Angela is, and she had happened to watch a show with one of my favorite thought leaders, Greg Braden, who joined us a few months ago. And next thing, we're here together and we get to talk about her new book, which she was just sharing with me offline. It's Her Purpose. So without further ado, let me tell you a little bit about who Angela is. Angela Lentard is an intuitive life coach, inspirational speaker, and author of her memoir, A Charmed Journey, An Inspired Guide to Personal Transformation. Angela's best-selling book was endorsed by the international best-selling spiritual teacher, Dr. Wayne Dyer, who, of course, Dr. Fab had just mentioned on a recent episode. Angela has been sought out by celebrities, entrepreneurs, CEOs, and hiring managers for her intuitive and healing abilities. She enjoys working with individuals and organizations of all kinds, and in fact, has a new book out that we want to talk about today called Trigger the Wonder Horse. So tell me a little bit about that, Angela. How did this become your path? When did you know you were an intuitive healer?
First of all, thank you so much for inviting me to be on your show. I so appreciate it. And my book, Trigger the Wonder Horse, I feel like my entire life has been culminating up until this point in time, and to be able to share this message of hope with the world, with everyone. And it's no secret that we are faced with current challenges, with what's happening from one end to the other. And just to remind ourselves that God is for real, and I love the angelic realm, and just to really connect with your own inner spirit and have hope that we can heal and move forward in whatever capacity our path is about.
Beautiful. So how did you become an intuitive? Was it something you were always gifted with, that connection to the angelic realm and the divine? Tell us a little bit about that.
No, I grew up on a farm in Montana. So my MO was to go outside and to sit in nature, to sit in a barn. And whenever I had a question about life as a little kid, I would go to my mom and I would say, Mom, what should I do about this? Or what should I do about that? And her response was, I don't know, why don't you go talk to God about it? So that is how I began to build my relationship with God. I'm like, oh, that makes sense. So I'd go outside and I'd either sit on a rock or maybe it was a fence post, or hang out with the horses or the bulls or the chickens or whatever it was. And I would just contemplate life. And I would ask the animal in front of me, what should I do about this? And here I am. I think that began to lay the framework in how I began to pay attention to nature, how I began to listen to my inner voice and to go within for the answers rather than to seek without. So I think that's where it all began, is that my mom just pushed me in the direction of go figure it out, go ask yourself, go sit and think about it. And of course, if I didn't come up with an answer, she would help me as a little kid. But most of the time I was like, oh, that makes sense. I can do that. And this is why and how I do what I do today.
Mm. I love that you bring that up. One of my dear friends and teachers, David Guillaume, has a podcast. It's the only podcast I listen to every week. I've mentioned it many times on the show, called Weekly Energy Boost. And I was listening to a recent episode where I think they were talking about spiritual negotiation. And David was the one who instilled in me about 5 years ago to start talking to, not only talking to, but fighting with God, universe, whatever you want to call it, And in this particular episode, he talks about that. He says, the only time we should ever be entitled is with God or the universe. Like, I did this. I have worked my butt off. The moment we become entitled with one another, you owe me this, or you start, as Dr. Fab was sharing on a recent show we did about blame. The moment we point the finger or blame another human, then that creates chaos and separation in our lives. Though, to David's point in the show and to what you're saying, it's like we have this opportunity to cultivate that deep relationship with the God, the goddess, the universe, the nature, whatever it is that you want to call it, the divine, that is within each and every one of us. And the more that we can cultivate that and realize it's okay to fight with God, it's okay to be totally transparent and be like, this makes no sense, help me to understand, then that's where really the gates to inner wisdom and knowing open up. Because to your point, I'm not looking to you, Angela, for validation or whomever. I'm going directly to the source and using that source energy to help guide me. So how has that showed up along your path?
Well, where should we begin? Because I guess it started when I was 14 on the farm. My mom was sick. My dad wasn't around. And so it was just me and my brother. And I remember one day that my mom just, she could no longer take care of my brother and I. So I remember I walked out of the bathroom and I looked at my mom and I said, get your act together. And we're not staying here. So I packed up my brother's clothes. I took the guns. I took the knives and I packed up the car and I took my brother and our bags and I got into the car and I headed down the gravel road. And my brother says, where are we going? And I said, I don't know, but we're not staying here. Sure. And that is when I think the gift of the Holy Spirit really took over me, took over my car. And I didn't know where I was going. But I ended up driving to a house where I had known that the town nurse lived. And I thought, who better to take care of us than a nurse? And so I got out of the car and I walked to her front door and I knocked and I said, my mom is really sick. Will you take care of me, my brother? And she said, absolutely. So I think from the onset of that time in my life, I knew that in order to fully thrive and survive, it was going to be between me and God, and to live this life and to really understand faith and what it takes to walk by faith and not by sight.
Let's talk a moment here about the interaction of God and miracles. As you and I were talking before the show began, I'm a huge proponent of miracles. Many of you watching or listening may have heard me share about this before. I started noticing miracles. It was actually a guest I'd had on a show 4 years ago, Dr. Todd Ovakaitis, who had challenged me to not only write down all the things I was grateful for, but to write down the moments of awe, miracles, and wonder every day. And that began my practice. And so talk to me a little bit about how this then catapulted you into exploring consciousness of miracles and how that showed up in your life. That's clearly a huge miracle that you show up at a stranger's house and you say, right, you're going to take care of me. And the stranger says, yes, I am.
Thank you very much. Yes, that was just the beginning. The journey that I talk about in my book, Trigger the Wonder Horse, it is one miracle after another. And God, miracles, they are from God. That's where they come from. And our job as a human, as a spiritual being living this human experience, is to align our energy from the body, mind, and spirit, and to pay attention to what is showing up in our world. And when we know that we're on the right path in life, typically we feel good. I always say, use your body as that wise vehicle to get you from A to B, because your body knows it has sacred wisdom. So I just really began to not only go within and ask all questions, but to build that unwavering relationship with my body and to recognize when I was on the right path and when I wasn't. And when I wasn't, then I needed to course correct. We have free choice and free will, and we can make conscious choices, or you can repeat patterns over and over again. And we will. You'll repeat the same pattern over again because it's deeply ingrained and that's what you know. And until you get so uncomfortable with your old life, with your old patterning, is when you decide to heal. And that's that deep transformation process. And that is what my latest book has triggered, taught me, was to really what's interesting is this book is actually two books put together. So the first half of the book was, I'd say it was between a girl and her horse. And we talked about a few miracles where we literally witnessed angels coming out of nowhere, physical angels, to rescue Trigger before he dashed onto the busy highway to right before I thought he was going to die. And he was laying down and I was getting ready to euthanize him. And I laid down and I whispered in his ear, "Are you ready to go, me God?" And he sat up and looked at me. He ran away from the needle. And so what I'm saying is that my life has been one miracle after the next. And it's only because you have to show up and be present. So when I say show up and be present, be in your body and recognize when your body is telling you yes and when your body is telling. So that was the first half of the book. The second half of the book, I think of it as the warrior's ride, because it was truly following the signs and the messages that God gave me every step of the way that got us to the point where this book was published and to be able to share this book and the small miracles that happen from, I can show you, because I wanted to show you, I can tell a story and I can point to things, but at the end of the day, we all have to do our own inner work. And from finding the ace of diamonds on the floor, on the ground one day out of nowhere, to finding gold coins on the ground, to finding a gold cross, to a key, to, and then even a Bible verse that I found on the ground. All of these were the miracles that encouraged me to continue to share this message and to inspire people to find that inner wisdom within themselves, to find that path of faith and to walk it boldly. To walk it boldly, because you're going to need to in order to fully, I think, live your life's purpose.
So true. A dear friend of mine, Justin, keeps telling me over and over, Jennifer, the only purpose is to fulfill your destiny. That's it. We all have a destiny and we're all meant to fulfill it. And many of us do go through heart-wrenching, heartbreaking things that we think we will never survive. That if we told our story to somebody else, they'd be like, how did you survive that? Mm-hmm. And yet it's those very harrowing journeys that we experience in our lives that are also the catalyst to allow ourselves to become the role model, the human being, the author, the intuitive, the thought leader who helps to pull other people who are out of their depths of sorrow and into it. I had something beautiful around that just happened for me the other day, where sometimes I typically channel, probably very similar to you, Angel. When I write, I don't write as often as I used to. Anything I've ever written, most of the time it's channeled. And yesterday I was sitting around, my father had passed away relatively recently, and all of a sudden I started channeling what I was meant to write. And I write it out and I send an email out to our whole list. And it's so funny. I resist sending emails out to lists. I'm not that person who wants to send an email out every day or every week. I send an email out when the moment strikes me and I feel inspired to. And it was so sweet. A dear friend of mine I've known for about 20 years shared with her partner, the guy who's a little bit quieter and more reserved, my message about my father's passing and finding inner peace. And his message back was so beautiful. He said, as heartbroken as I am for Jennifer's loss, I feel at peace from her words. And as though I'm sad her father died, I'm grateful for her word. And that's the power that we have when we go through things that might seem heartbreaking. If we can find a way to share our story with others that might touch them in this moment, or that might touch them 10 years down the road, they might remember something from your book, Trigger Horse, or something that somebody else said that helps pull them through that moment where they feel inconsolable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're here to walk, I think it's Rumi, to walk each other home, and to show up for each other and to serve from our hearts and from that place of knowing. And when someone is walking with us and they've had a similar situation, no two situations are exactly the same, but somebody who understands the depth of sorrow and grief and worry, what it's like to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. And they can say to you, you know what? It's okay. You'll be okay. You'll be okay. It might take a little bit, but it might take a few days. It might take a few years. And, but this is this, if you choose to look at it as a growing experience and a lesson that you can master within yourself and a reason to inspire others with it. So you take your hardships and you turn them into opportunities and you turn them into something good. And then you share it with others. And I think that's the flow. That's the balance. That's the yin and the yang. And just with light and good situations and miracles, there's always the opposite side. There's always the shadow side. There's always the dark side. And that I'm just speaking from my truth in the path that I've been given, the path that's been put in front of me to walk it and then be able to authentically share it.
And how did that show up for you, Angela, in terms of your intuitive work? And I remember you were sharing with me before the show how Wayne Dyer came to get some healing from you, and that's how he came to endorse your book. How was it that you wound up using this powerful intuition, basically, that you've harnessed for other people?
It's my intuition is who I am. And so I think it was after I graduated from college, I had my business degree. And I got into that particular world and I realized that I everything I was doing was I was blowing it up. So I was blowing up computers, the phones wouldn't work. And I thought, this is not my deal. And what am I supposed to do with my life? And then one night, I was 24 and I was driving home from work and I called my mom. I used to talk to her. We had our hardships. We got over it. We both healed. And I called my mom and I said, what are you doing? And she says, I'm getting ready to go. And I go, where are you going? And she goes, I'm going home with the angels. And my mom, she drank a lot. So I thought she was drinking again. And I said, are you drunk? And she said, no. She says, I love you. And she goes, and I'll see you again someday. And she just hangs up the phone on me. And I went to call her back and she didn't answer. So when I got home, I was married at the time. And I said, my mom was acting so weird on the phone. And he said, well, what was she doing? He said, she's going to see me again someday, but I don't know where she's going. And then I went to bed. And that next morning, I got up about 5:30 in the morning. And I just went and sat in the dining room. And my husband at the time got up and he said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm waiting. And he goes, what are you waiting for? And I said, I don't know. And about 5 minutes later, it was my aunt calling to tell me that my mom had passed away in her sleep and she just had a heart attack. And so and it was at that pivotal time in my life where I really began I questioned myself, what is my purpose? What am I here to do? And then I began to seek out practitioners and people to help me through my process. And then I began to understand the mind, the body, the spirit. And it all began with massage school, understanding how the muscles and the tissues all work together to make this body strong and why you need to the energy involved and for a healthy body, for your immune system to feel good, to relax, to recalibrate the system. And then I began to study around the world doing meditation and prayer and Qigong to yoga and all of this wisdom that I've gathered from one end to the other. I've just thought, okay, this is how I'm supposed to serve. Mm-hmm. And with that, my intuition became even more heightened and more heightened. And I was able to tap into different, I tap into energy. I see energy. I hear energy. I talk to energy. It's just the way it is. I talk to animals. I can read their minds like they can read mine. And how I got Wayne Dyer's endorsement was truly a God thing. It was all intuition. I was at a time in my life. So this was when I was in my 30s and I was in a relationship and it was one that I needed something different. I needed to change. I needed to grow up and I needed to heal. So I ended up, I walked out and I had $10 to my name and I did it all on faith. And what inspired that was one day I was going to get into the bathtub. And as I looked in the mirror, I didn't recognize the face staring back at me. And I thought to myself, you know what? You need to figure out who you are. So I got into the tub and I'll never forget this. A force came from behind me, pushed me out of the tub where I wrapped a towel around my body, a towel around my head. I walked up the stairs and I looked out my boyfriend at the time and I said, I'm leaving. And he goes, well, where are you going? And I said, I don't know. I'm not staying here. So I said the same thing that I said when I was 14. So ironically, I did the same. I had the same pattern. I was in the same situation, but I didn't do it consciously. I'm just sitting here today. I can connect the dots. But at the time, I couldn't. So I got in my car and I didn't know where I was going. And, you know, here I'm 30. I had studied all of this great wisdom. I read every book. I thought, okay, I got this. I got this. Truly, it's about more than lip service. You have to be more than just giving lip service to people. You actually have to do your own work. If you want to do it well and you want to change hearts, you have to do your own work. Yep. And my partner at the time, he says, you only have 10 bucks. He drained my account. And I said, that's fine. I said, my soul's worth more than $10. That's exactly what I said. And I got to my car and I was headed down to the park because I was way too proud to ask for help. And one thing that God humbles us. God humbles each and every one of us. I've been humbled more than I like to count. But I got into my car and I thought, what has just happened? And all of a sudden, I had nothing except pretty much the clothes on my back. And I was headed down to the park because I thought, well, it can't be that bad to live in the park. Homeless people do it. And as I was driving down to the park, I got really mad at God and I began to beat on the steering wheel and I can cuss like a sailor. And I said, why have you forgotten me? And I've done all this. I've helped people and now I have to do this. And I kid you not, after about 1 or 2 minutes of just furious and crying and just anger, I stopped. And this force came through the back of my window. I could see it. You could feel it. It was like a swirling white energy came through. I put my hands on my steering wheel. I started my car and I drove to a house. I drove to a house and I didn't exactly know where I was. And I got out and I walked to the front door and I knocked. And it was my very first client ever that said, if I ever needed a place to stay, I was always welcome in her home. And that is where I began to change my life. And I realized that I had to heal. I had to heal so deeply from childhood to adult years to you name it, probably even beyond that. And as I was laying in the twin bed that night, I said, God, I will do whatever it takes to change my life. I will do whatever you say. And I was given instructions. And my instructions were, you have to take total responsibility for your life. You have to understand the role that you're playing in all of your relationships. It just isn't the role with one person. It's the role in all situations. And then I needed to be grateful, extremely grateful for everything, even the hard times, even the point of where I was to being homeless, pretty much. And then the fourth thing was I needed to write a book. And I was like, are you kidding me? I didn't even know how to write a book. I didn't have the money to write a book. I didn't know how to write a book. But I said, I'll do it. I'll do whatever it takes. But then I said, okay, God, I will do what it takes. But I need, in order to prove that I'm not crazy, can we get at least Wayne Dyer to endorse this book so I don't seem like a total loop? And I didn't get an answer. But I stayed very diligent. So I stayed diligent. I wrote the book. I shared my experiences, all my spiritual experiences that I had over the years and the lesson behind it and how I became the person that I was at that moment. And then one day, so now the book's done. It's in hard copy. I self-published. I did it myself. I figured out how. And I did it truly from finding the cheapest person on Craigslist to do the cover to the editor. I found my editor on the fifth page of Google. So that's how I made it all come together. And then I said, okay, God, how am I going to get Wayne Dyer's endorsement? And then all of a sudden, a name popped into my head. And it was an old client of mine that told me that she had attended one of Wayne's seminars in Hawaii. And I hadn't spoken to her in years, but I still had her number on my phone. So I called her up and I said, hey, Susan, Shantala, I know it's been a while, but by any chance, do you have Wayne Dyer's address? And she goes, oh, I think I do. And I'm like, no way. And so she goes, wait 1 minute. So I heard her. She ran up the stairs and she dug through this pile of papers and she came back on the phone and she said, I have this address and a phone number. And I said, perfect. And so she gave it to me. Immediately, I called the phone number. And I guess Wayne was, he was living, somebody answered his phone, right? So I called and I said, hi, this is FedEx. And I am delivering a package to Wayne. I just want to verify the address. I wasn't lying. I was sending it in a FedEx envelope. And so the person on the other line said, yeah, that's it. And send it our direction and even put my name on it so I make sure that Wayne gets it. And I said, great. So I went and found the brightest red envelope I could find. And I got out a pink piece of paper and black Sharpie. And I said, dear Wayne, I dream big. And can I have your endorsement on my book? And so I sent it to him. And within a couple of weeks, he sent me his endorsement. And then when he was in Denver, we became friends. And I treated him and we did some healing work on him. And I'll never forget the first time I met Wayne. I knocked on his door and he opens the door and I said, oh my God. And he goes, I feel like I'm looking at her too. And I thought, oh my gosh. And that was Wayne. And he said, Angela, so many people, he goes, you have no idea how many requests I get every day from people wanting me to endorse their book. And he says, but when I saw that red envelope, he goes, God told me I needed to put my name on that. And that's where it all began. So I know it's a long answer to your question, but it just seems like one long continuous story.
It's so beautiful, Angela. I feel in my heart and soul that somewhere out there, someone's going to listen or hear this episode, and you're going to give them the strength and courage they need through your tenacity, through your audacity and your willingness to be unwavering in your courage and faith to get out there and to go after your dreams. That's what life is about. Sometimes we don't know how, what, when, where, but miracles happen. It's so miraculous that when the right people are meant to show up in our lives, the right action backed by the right intention and faith can create miracles in our lives. And I think that basically sums it up. So Angela, I'd love to hear from you about where people can buy the book, where they can connect with you on that.
They can buy my books on Amazon. So they are both self-published. I felt very strongly that I wanted to be able to control the message and what goes in it and what's said because I'm responsible for it. So I just wanted that to never get in the way of having my experience and what the readers are seeing and hearing. So they can go to Amazon and buy it. I'm on social media. They can go to my website, Angela Lenhard. Triggered, the Wonder Horse has his own website. And I have a YouTube channel full of inspirational videos from our stories, from the angels appearing out of nowhere to finding my ace of diamonds and the gold cross and everything. But if there's one thing that I can leave people with is to never give up hope. To never give up hope. But we also have to heal. We have to heal ourselves because those behaviors and sabotaging patterns will drag us down and they have a voice. They have a very strong voice and a lot of power. So that's why it takes an act of God to move beyond that, but also recognize what you're doing and how you're playing a role in your own life, how you're creating your own life, and that truly that miracles, they do happen, and they are performed by faith. They are from faith, so you walk by faith.
Thank you so much. We've had Angela Lenhard here with us with her new book, Trigger Horse.
Trigger the Wonder Horse. And I want to say one more thing. A couple of Trigger's veterinarian assistants, they gave me this stuffed animal with Trigger's voice. So it goes like this.
Oh, that's so
sweet. So it is Winnie that's going to keep on. That's our legacy to the world, is his little Winnie and our story.
Thank you so much, Angela. Wishing each and every one of you out there listening, watching, whenever, wherever you are, an abundance of miracles, the faith and the wisdom to recognize and appreciate them when they come into your life. And may they be more plentiful than you've ever imagined. So as I once told somebody, you have to turn an umbrella upside down to capture all the miracles that are coming your way. I'm Jennifer Cahill, and it's always a pleasure being with you. Thank you.